In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we offer this Mass and as a commemoration of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Two great graces that occurred during this Mass that would go unknown to the untrained eye. One is that young Angel carried the really big heavy cross. So that means you can do it all the time. You're only going to get stronger. You're not going to get any weaker. So good job on that one. And beyond that, another great feat of even greater importancia is that Cynthia read in public. Praise God, and in Spanish, no less. Wow. That week of retreat in Albuquerque really did a great work for you, even if that's the only thing that comes out of it. God is doing good things in you. What we have here in our particular readings, especially in what was given to us by Cynthia, in that 2 Corinthians, what does it say for us? That whole passage in the beginning of the sixth chapter of that second letter of St. Corinthians that Paul writes is all about the way in which Catholics are to lead their lives. We're to live in such a way that nobody can hold anything against our faith. It means as those who follow God, we're to live lives irreproachable, irreproachable lives. What the gospel is saying is that you and I are to live lives that give ourselves far beyond what can be expected, far beyond what can be demanded. This is something that is really, really hard to live out. He doesn't just say go beyond for people. It's that first part that our Lord says that hurts the most. It says don't give resistance to the evil person. Give no resistance to one who is evil, is what it says. And that is very difficult. Because when somebody does evil to you, what happens inside of you? Get frustrated. You get everything within you just rises up and you want to lash out. And injustice, sometimes maybe you should. But our Lord says, don't give that evil person resistance. Why? It's because the evil person only has a reward in this life. Only in this life. They do not have one in the next life. If they want to take from you now, que será, será. Doesn't matter. What should we do to build up a treasure house here on this earth? Can't take any of it with us. What does it matter if somebody says something bad about you or I? It's gravely false. Is it true? Does it matter? Don't offer resistance to them. Let their reward just be in this life. Realize that they only get this life. Next life, it's going to be terrible for them if they don't convert. My life, I've tried to live this out. Not perfectly. Certainly not. But in all these things, when somebody says something bad about me or attacks me in some sort of way, what? Just don't say anything. Is it true or is it not? If it's not true, who cares? Who cares? God is going to be the one that's going to defend. What our Lord is saying there in the gospel, he said, turn the other right there, give him the left side. You're daring him to strike you again. Go ahead. Hit me on the other side. See what that matters. You let them do and do and do against you, and then hopefully in tiring themselves into an evil, they realize, why don't they resist? Why don't they attack? Why don't they do anything in defense of themselves? I won't give you particulars in any situation. I'll share with you one thing. There was one particular person who had great authority over me at one point in my life, enough to very much crush me. And over again, I stood firm on the truth. Over and over again, I just repeated what is the way that things work. Over and over again, just calmly let things be like that. The person began to raise their voice, began to attack, began to launch into things. And what happened was that this person, seeing that, did not react in the same way, but came calm, what happens often. This isn't special to my situation in the least bit. But then more and more the anger grew until finally an explosion happened and words were said which should not be said by somebody who is in authority over another person. And when that explosion happened, what occurred? Immediately entered in shame. As should be the case. Shame, and that words like that could come out. Which very much did hurt me all the more, indeed. I'm not saying it felt good, it felt terrible. But because this person's heart was good, because they had goodness within their souls, what occurred? Is that immediately they stepped back. Immediately they realized how far they had gone. Immediately they realized that saying things like that could not be true. And obviously there's something else going on in them that needed to change. So I backed off, asked forgiveness. And then things immediately got better. It's not because I'm a saint. I'm far from it. I'm trying not to do evil. But that's an example for the ways in which it can happen not just for me, but for you as well. Resist not the person who is evil. Resist them not. And when tiring themselves with evil, that explosion maybe could come out, and maybe that'll hurt, maybe it'll work to your advantage. I can tell you that immediately there afterwards, though this person had the power to crush me, realize that they shouldn't. And then from that, is even able to be given a great concession. Resist not the person who's evil. When you resist not the person who's evil, when you attempt to do something great for God, when you attempt to stand on his word in these ways like that, sometimes it can work out greatly for your benefit. But if it doesn't, who cares? Your reward isn't in this life. As a Catholic, this world has nothing for you. The sooner you come to realize that, whether you are as young as Angel, or as old as somebody who's older in this church, the sooner you begin to realize that, or anywhere in between, the better your life goes, the more greatly God is able to use you, and indeed, the more Christ-like you become. And it doesn't matter when you learn that lesson in life, when you begin to practice it and practice it, even though you fail a million times over. All that God cares is that you got it, that you got it. And here on this feast, this great feast, where we celebrated yesterday, but also we continue on because that's what the whole month is dedicated to, the Sacred Heart, to pray that prayer, which is so simple and should be on the tip of the tongue of every Catholic during this month. Daily we say it, if not all throughout your life. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Before we pray it a few more times to conclude this sermon, our last here in this community, let me do a brief explanation on what meekness is. Meekness is not what a synonym for that word often is used, which is a false friend, false cognate. When somebody hears the word meekness, oftentimes they say, well, that must be weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a virtue. Meekness is realizing that one has a whole lot of power, a lot of strength, a lot of force that they could bring to bear. But they choose not to strike with all their force. That's what a meek person does. Realize that they could really squash somebody. Maybe they feel like doing it, but they hold back and use only as little power as is necessary to correct whatever action is, to put the other one back where they should be at the proper distance, to fix the situation, and that's it. That's how our Lord deals with you and I. Meek of heart and humble of heart. He's humble. He recognizes the truth about himself. He's meek. He doesn't squash us the first moment we step out of line, but rather seeks to gently lead you and I forward. That's the kind of heart that every Catholic is to have. Parents, we know this. Those of us who've been superiors, we know what that's like, supervisors. And we who are growing into roles that are like that someday, do well to learn it even now. Let's pray that prayer 5 times over. And just ask that our Lord, whose Sacred Heart is here, hopefully emanating from beside this pulpit for many, many, many years to come. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Nuestro buen Señor nos llama a ser misericordiosos de una manera extrema. La misericordia no es una idea fría o casual de perdón. La misericordia no es una mirada condescendiente hacia las personas imperfectas que no están a la altura de nuestras normas. No es una resignación suspirante para aguantar a esos pecadores. Este sería el mayor pecado, el pecado de orgullo, de superbia. Estamos llamados a sufrir con los demás. Este es el significado literal de compasión. Compasión significa tomar a una persona tal como es. Compasión es abrazar a una persona herida, puesta de amor. Compasión es entrar en sus imperfecciones y sufrimientos. Si no tenemos este tipo de amor misericordioso los unos por los otros, no podamos tener compasión por nuestro Jesús en sus sufrimientos. Esto es lo que pide el Sagrado Corazón, que es el patrono de este mes. Solo podemos reparar su corazón si tenemos compasión de los que están hechos a su imagen y semejanza en la tierra. Cada uno de nosotros sabe lo que es un ser querido sufra. Pensar en ustedes hijos y en cónyuge, en un hermano o en un padre, en un sacerdote. Su reacción es, oh, si yo pudiera soportar este sufrimiento en su lugar. I want to suffer in their place. Why do they have to suffer in this way? Let me do it instead. Toda la vida de Jesucristo en la tierra fue vivida desde este tipo de compasión misericordiosa. Una compasión que va más allá de lo necesario. Todos nuestros pecados estaban presentes para Jesús en el mismo sufrimiento humano que Él soportó. Jesús vio en sus debilidades, en nuestras futilidades, nuestras depresiones y frustraciones, y nuestras incomprensiones de un mismo y de los demás. ¿Cuál fue la respuesta de Jesús en todo eso? Él dijo, si pudiera cargar con ellos. Pero para Jesús no fue una mera emoción o palabra. Jesús realmente lo hizo. Las tomó y las llevó en su sagrado corazón. Deberíamos devolverle estas palabras y decirle con todo nuestro amor, si pudiéramos sufrir por ti. Solo hay un camino para que entremos en la pasión de Cristo. Es el camino de la compasión. Este es el camino por el que la Virgen entró en la pasión. Ella es nuestra reina de la compasión. Ella es compasiva con nosotros. La Madre María nos enseñará y nos guardará. Él es madre de los dolores y madre de las alegrías, madre de la vida real. La vida cristiana, es decir, todas nuestras vidas como católicos individuales, la vida cristiana está destinados a reproducir la pasión de Cristo en su mismo. No lo haremos con sudores sangrinados o con clavos. Entramos en la pasión sufriendo en todas estas pequeñas formas poco espectaculares y poco glamorosas de las luchas diarias con los demás. Esta es nuestra pasión. Y solo a través de esta pasión y de esta cruz que soportamos con los demás podemos ser llevados a la gloria de su resurrección. La Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, ayúdanos hoy a hacerlo mejor. Tú estás aquí, que eres nuestra madre. Déjanos descansar bajo el manto de tu compasión y protección, que nos encontraremos en el cruz siendo de sus brazos. Danos valor para no temer nada que sería cortante y hiriente, sino para confiar en que cuando estemos contigo, tú cuidarás de todo. En el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo.